My guest for this segment of the program, Dave Bouchard. He is a congressional candidate running in Northeast Iowa. Dave, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Ed. I appreciate you.
So you are running as an independent candidate.
Yes.
There is a Democratic candidate,
yes.
A Republican candidate. It's a very competitive district.
There's a Libertarian candidate as well.
Right, and we've had the Libertarian candidate on this program, Rick Stewart. And per requirements by the FCC, we have invited all four candidates. The Democratic and Republican candidate have yet to respond.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for getting back to me. Thank you for your interest. Why the heck are you doing this?
Well, I'll tell you. I feel that as a working class poor person that's grown up my entire life, not seeing any real deliverable or measurable gains from either party for the coming down for the working class, I feel like it's my responsibility to work to build a movement to break out of the two-party system. I feel like both parties are entirely captured by the same corporate oligarchs, the same tech corporations, and the same foreign agents. 60% of Americans want a third party on the ballot. 40% of Americans already identify as independents. And here in Iowa's 2nd Congressional District, independents are the plurality.
There are more independents than Republicans or Democrats.
That's correct, yeah. Yes.
So, I'm guessing Democrats are third.
Democrats are third. There's about 154,000 Democrats, and there's 198,000 independents.
Okay. And then
and the Republicans are around 175,000, 180,000.
In the middle there, okay.
In the middle.
And what is your working class background?
Well, I grew up patches on patches poor. Both my parents worked at the welding and fabrication factory in our hometown.
Which town?
West Union, Iowa. That's where I was born and raised, in Fayette County, up in northeast Iowa. But that factory shut down, so my mom picked up a couple jobs working at the nursing home and at the gas station to make ends meet. My dad got a job wherever he could. We worked hard our whole life, but we were never politically inclined. My parents didn't vote. I thought growing up my entire life that government and politics was the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. I thought that was the job of government, was to fight wars. And then I got older and realized...
You're partially right on that.
I suppose I am a little bit.
Whether it should be or should not be, it seems to be our business.
That's right.
Fighting wars.
Yeah, we make a lot of
ongoing
money.
Ongoing wars,
it.
Yeah.
And
we don't make a lot of money off it, but the corporations that pay for the weapons do.
Oh, yeah. Lockheed Martin, Boeing, all of them
build the weapons.
They build the weapons and they make the money.
So anyway, I digress. Sorry, you were going on with your background there.
Yeah. So I grew up working class poor. We fought hard our whole life. And then I realized as I started getting older that all of the things that we struggled with as I was growing up were a direct causation of decisions by elected officials in government. I got pretty deep into the punk music scene when I was younger. I was very angry, very angsty, until I discovered folk labor music. Utah Phillips, Pete Seeger, Sister Ann Feeney, Rest in Power. And they showed me that they were also kind of punk, but they organized community power. They were organizing the working class. And so I joined the union at 17. And
which union?
IWW, the Industrial Workers of the World, Local 650.
Okay.
Old industrial union.
AKA the Wobblies?
The Wobblies, that's right. So I traveled around as a roving delegate, preaching the Wobbly gospel and playing on the strike lines when I was younger.
Yeah. And is that going to open you up to attacks of being a communist?
I think that just me having long hair and wearing a red headband opens up the idea of communism attacks to me.
Really? I thought it opened up the line of attack of Rockstar.
Rockstar, Axl Rose, whatever. I get all kinds of stuff. John Lennon to Tom Petty to whatever. But
stick with Axl Rose, I guess.
I guess I'll stick with Axl Rose, yeah. But and I'm partial to Tom Petty, of course.
I love Tom Petty.
I do, too. Yeah. I really do. And but you know, people have these labels, communist, socialist, fascist. I think that it's 21st century laziness that we try to apply all these old antiquated terms to politics. We're in a new age of politics. We shouldn't be transposing these old terms into modern society, because what do they really mean anyways? And if you overuse them, they lose their utilization.
I agree. You can overuse them. I think right now the use of the communist label by certain Republican operatives is pretty absurd.
And the overuse of fascism by the liberals is pretty absurd.
Do you think Trump is a fascist?
I don't. I don't think that Trump is a fascist. I think that
Do we have any fascists in the world right now in positions of power, leadership?
You know, I would say that there's some fascistic tendencies that we see in Benjamin Netanyahu. also in Javier Milei, and also the guy that's in charge down there in Argentina, right? Or not Argentina. Where do they have that big Supermax prison at? Where's that at?
El Salvador.
El Salvador, yeah. I would say that they have more fascistic tendencies. I don't think that I'd call Trump a fascist, and I might get beat up for that, but I think it's lazy liberalism that calls him a fascist. He is something different, and if we want to truly diagnose what it is that Trump is capturing and speaking to in America, we have to do more than just apply an antiquated diagnosis.
So what is he speaking to in America?
He's speaking to an anger and a frustration and a desperation. I mean, if you look back at 2016, President Trump and Bernie Sanders, if you put two of their campaign ads next to each other, it was essentially the same thing. They're speaking to a desperation of the working class.
Similar, but not the same, I would say.
Very similar.
You probably know people, too, who were Sanders supporters who would not support Hillary Clinton after the primary was over, and they ended up with Donald Trump.
Yes, and they, Sanders supporters that went to Donald Trump. I wager if we're all struggling and drowning in the ocean, in that moment of desperation, we're going to, a lot of folks will push their neighbor's head under the water just to get up for another gasp of air. And I think that's what we're seeing.
It's a horrible metaphor.
It is a horrible metaphor, but it's where we're at, brother. You know, we have to realize the reality. Everybody's drowning. The whole working class is drowning. And they want something different. And there's, you know, there's President Biden, who said nothing will fundamentally change. There's Hillary Clinton, who's the queen of the establishment. And then you had Donald Trump, who was rough around the edges like your drunk uncle at a Christmas. People like him once in a while, but I think people are getting a little bit sick and tired of that and seeing no consequential deliverables for the working class.
So people are sick and tired of Trump.
I think that they're getting there. And
he's not a fascist. Is he an authoritarian?
I would say he's an authoritarian. I think that a lot of American presidents have been authoritarian.
All of them? Which ones haven't? Put it that way.
Which ones have not been authoritarian? None in my recent memory. I would say everyone in my recent memory has been pretty authoritarian.
But does Trump steal the cake in terms of the depth of authoritarianism?
You know, that's, I think that's to be seen still. I don't know if I would say that he, I think that we often attribute a lot of the mechanisms of American politics to Donald Trump these days. You know, he's been in the limelight for the last 10 years at least. For a lot of young folks in their 20s and 30s, their entire political life has been Donald Trump. And what I've done on my campaign is I don't really talk about Donald Trump, and I don't talk about Joe Biden, and I don't talk about these folks from the past because I feel like they get scapegoated a lot and everything applied to
except
them.
Except when some pesky talk show host brings it up, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think this is maybe the first time I've said Donald Trump on this campaign. So
really?
Thanks,
oh,
Ed.
Well, you're welcome. Happy to help.
Yeah, no problem.
So you're an independent.
Yes.
So I can't point to your party's platform and say, aha, what is your platform?
Yeah, so my platform is I focus on common denominator issues that affect the entirety of the working class. I don't get into this factionalized and ideological posturing. You know, what folks want is good jobs, clean water, clean air, an environment that they can count on, a house that they know isn't going to get ripped out from under them by a private equity firm. 70% of Iowans support strong labor unions. I am a labor unionist. So a lot of my policies are focused on common denominator or class reductionist issues. I'm a big fan of more direct democracy as well. I feel like representative democracy in a lot of avenues has outlived its usefulness.
So how would direct democracy work?
National ballot initiatives is something that I'm a big proponent of. In 22 states in this country, if you want an issue on the ballot, you collect enough signatures in your state, and you can vote on it the same as you vote on representatives.
So when you say national ballot initiatives, you don't mean an initiative affecting the entire country, or
yes.
You do? Okay.
Yes.
But also allowing that to occur at the state level as well.
That's correct. Maintain it at the state level if there's state level initiatives, but I would like it if we collect enough signatures or whatever the parameters are in every one of the states. When you go to vote for president or senator or U.S. congressperson, you're also voting on, should we legalize marijuana? Should we have term limits? Should we ban corporations from financing campaigns? I trust my neighbors and I trust Americans enough to make the right decision.
On those issues, should we ban corporations from funding campaigns?
Absolutely. A corporation's not a person.
Mitt Romney said it was.
Oh, Mitt Romney says a lot of things that are wrong, and I don't agree with Mitt Romney.
I did agree with Mitt Romney when he called capitalism, our current version of capitalism, crony capitalism.
I would probably agree with that as well. I would agree with him on that one.
Yeah.
That it's crony capitalism. And, you know, there's some people that embrace capitalism. There's some people that embrace socialism. I embrace the working class. And that's where my loyalty lies. It doesn't lie with this definition or that definition. I feel like it gets into a convoluted conversation and it pits workers against each other, which is exactly what the two-party system wants.
And you mentioned clean water and clean air. What initiatives would you support to accomplish those goals?
As for clean water, what I would do is I would work towards a declaration as a national emergency on our water quality in the United States. And I would advocate for legislation that would create a federal jobs guarantee, creating the infrastructure to clean our water in the United States.
The infrastructure to clean our water.
Yes.
And I mean, well, take Iowa, for example. Again,
yep.
this program broadcasts all over the country, but we're dealing with similar problems that other people have to deal with. Maybe a little bit more acute, in fact. We have a huge nitrate problem.
Yes, we do.
In fact, because of that, Des Moines has the largest and most expensive nitrate removal system in the world.
It does.
How are we going to address that without some kind of you know, regulations that go beyond voluntary compliance?
Sure. And I think that we do need heavier regulations. The same as what labor unions and environmentalists fought for in the past when the Chicago River was on fire. One of the biggest...
Chicago River or the Cuyahoga River?
Was a Cuyahoga River yeah. is what it was, and the Cuyahoga
the
was on
Chicago
fire.
River was turned green, but that was intentional that on St. Patrick's Day. Right?
And they still do it, yeah.
But it's terrible, but anyway.
The Cuyahoga, when that was on fire, you had labor unions, especially the UAW, if I'm not mistaken, the UAW was one of the biggest contributors to the establishment of Earth Day and initiatives to clean up and advocate for cleaner waters and industrial accountability. Mm-hmm. I think that there's two things we need to do. There's the long term, then there's the short term. Right now, there's a hole in the ship. That is our nitrate problem, our PFAS, PFOS, forever chemicals, microplastics, lead in our water right now. We have the technology. We have the knowledge to create infrastructure and mechanisms that can clean our water. We should be investing in doing that right now, as well as exploring regulatory measures on these corporations. But we got to plug the boat.
And we also have a very, very powerful corporate, you know, set of interests that don't want to see any changes.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's going to be a tough hurdle to overcome.
It is. And that's why I think that we need to keep focused on these single issue kind of common denominators with workers. You're not going to see me out here saying Green New Deal this or that. That's the same thing as fascism, socialism, communism. It's a talking point. What are the real tangible gains that you're trying to accomplish? I think that when you reduce it down to that, most Americans agree. We want clean water. Mm. How do we get there? We work from that point.
It's not just clean water. It's not just the water quality. It's also water quantity.
Yes.
And we have a huge problem out west right now with the Colorado River, you know, drier than it ever has been. Lake Mead, lower than it ever has been. Mm-hmm. Conversations about pumping water from the Great Lakes down to the Southwest, which I think is insane.
Yes.
And I speak as, we're not a great state, a Great Lakes state here in Iowa, mm-hmm. but that is just insane.
It is
agree?
Insane. I would definitely agree. Yeah. And there's fears that we're going to be entering water wars. I mean, they're doing speculative bets on water futures right now. That's something that people...
What
that
are those gambling platforms?
Oh, gambling platforms. Oh, people that make a whole lot of money more than we do, Ed, are they're speculating.
That'd be
on,
most people.
Most yeah. people. Yeah. Most people would make more than us, yeah. Most people in general don't make that much. It's a very small handful,
right.
A small concentration of people at the top.
So one more policy question, and we're going to talk politics on the next segment.
Yeah.
One more policy question. If you're in Congress, you're going to have to deal with national security and foreign relations.
Yes.
And how do you feel about what some of us are calling the forever wars that we seem to be engaged in?
I think we have enough wars to win here at home, and we should be focused on those wars rather than endless conquest abroad. I think that we need to stop sending funding to Israel. We need to end propping up this failed war in Ukraine that is costing thousands, tens of thousands of young Ukrainian men's lives. And just, you know, my biggest fear is, 20 years from now, the unexploded cluster bombs that are going to be laying in those fields in Ukraine that kids are going to step on. Mm-hmm. No more forever wars. Pull the money back. Focus on securing our borders and domestic security and fighting the wars at home.
Okay. Hey, we got to take a short break. Folks, my guest today is Dave Bouchard. He's a congressional candidate, independent candidate for the 2nd District. of Iowa. That's up the northeast part of our state.